Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Yeah, and again, if you're going to have a bad game, now would be the time.
Exactly.
And if you're going to have a bad game and win, that'd be even better. If you're going to have a bad game and win and improve to become the number two seed in the NFC, that would be fantastic. Again, it's all a valuable win for the 49ers. We were just pointing out a couple of things that we saw on the 415ers podcast, brought to you by the Odyssey Sports Podcast Network. Evan Giddings, Mark Grandy. Follow us on social at 415ers. I'm on social at eGiddings10. Mark is on social at Mark Grandy. Mark with a C, Grandy with an I. Okay, I know we said we're going to get back to some of the offense outside of Brock Purdy. The real question is, do you want to start with Christian McCaffrey or Brandon Ayuk? Because those are the two guys that jumped off of the screen today.
They were fantastic. I guess I'll start with Christian McCaffrey. I don't know how you felt, Evan. I think I mentioned this on our last episode on Friday leading into this game. I was not expecting 25 touches from McCaffrey today. I don't think that was the game plan going in. I think that Kyle Shanahan would have loved to give McCaffrey maybe only 15 touches max, maybe something like 12 touches. They get up by a couple of scores, and you can give some carries to Jordan Mason and Tyrion Davis Price, who were both active for this game, by the way. And then, you know, you kind of go from there and you cruise to victory. That was not the case. You get down by 10 at halftime. You need McCaffrey, and you would not have come close to winning this game without him. So first of all, I think unfortunate that the Niners needed him to be as good as he was to win this game. But he once again answered every single call. 25 total touches, 193 total yards, 121 of those on the ground. He averaged about 6.5 a pop on the ground. He added 6 catches for 72 yards, had a 14-yard touchdown run on the ground, almost scored a couple of other touchdowns in this game. He seeded a goal line carry, or not a goal line carry, but a carry near the goal line.
Yeah,
to
red zone.
A red zone carry, you're right, to Mason, who ended up scoring his first career touchdown. He could have had another there. He was tackled down to the one a couple of times. He was phenomenal in this game. The Niners clearly needed every one of those 25 touches, but something that we've talked about is maybe we start to see the 49ers playing against some of these not great teams, seed some touches away to get them ready for the postseason. That was not the case in this one. And I think if there was any doubt in your mind how much the Niners wanted to win this game, Evan, how much they want at least the 2 seed, look no further than Christian McCaffrey's touches in this game. Because if they didn't really care that much about winning this game, I guarantee you McCaffrey would not have had 25 touches in this game. They desperately wanted this game. They gave McCaffrey the ball, told everyone else to get the hell out of the way, and he helped them win the game.
Yeah, the touch total will tell you Kyle Shanahan's level of interest in a certain game when it comes to McCaffrey. I mean, I counted 14 in the first half alone, and they trailed for the first time in 7 games. So that was pretty wild to see, and I think kind of told you then, okay, we're going to have to use him more in the second half. I don't know if you read that story by Matt Barrows last week, but it looked like Christian McCaffrey might have had a whole PB&J sandwich at halftime.
I did.
You know what I'm talking about. Everyone else, Christian McCaffrey eats peanut butter and jelly at halftime, but he doesn't always eat the entire sandwich depending on if the team has the ball, what his carry count is or isn't. I think he had the whole PB&J today.
So, yeah, he goes into halftime, the team down 10. He checks his phone, sees the Vikings are getting blown out. He's like, all right, whole PB&J time. I gotta step up in the second half here.
Yeah, well, the other guy who stepped up in the second half was Brandon Ayuk, because he's the other part of this. And like I've said, I think Brandon Ayuk's the number one wide receiver. Deebo Samuel, I think, it would be second on the depth chart when it comes to most important offensive players in the 49ers. But Ayuk is the number one wideout. And we saw it today, and we saw it on that final drive. I mean, Brock Purdy does not make the final drive to put the Niners in a position to win the game, which they eventually did in overtime, without Brandon Ayuk creating a massive amount of separation again and again. Not once, not twice, not three times, but four times. On that last drive, catches of 12 yards, 18 on back-to-back throws. After an incompletion, he goes back to Ayuk, Brock Purdy does, for 11 yards, second time out there. And then, I don't know if you want to talk about the questionable play call for Shanahan to call. We're just thinking here in the studio, how are we going to put the ball on the ground, run it? Well, no, Brock Purdy, in fact, play action, rollout. One thing you can't take is a sack, nearly does, gets hit as he's throwing, heaves a three flies up prayer into the air, and it miraculously falls into the arms of Brandon Ayuk for an 11-yard catch that sets up what would have been a game-winning field goal. But Brandon Ayuk on that drive had 62 of his 101 yards on the day. And of course, he also caught a touchdown, which was, you know, a nice play for him. He's up to, I think, what, 8 touchdowns this season receiving? But he has been a mainstay on offense, being able to get open when they need it. And on that final drive, to me, also proved that when you got to have it, Brandon Ayuk's a guy that can get you there.
100%. I agree with you. He's becoming one of the best route runners in football, and he can create space when you're, you know, in a congested area near the line of scrimmage still. A lot of his catches are, what, 10 to 15 yards down the field? Like, he's not going to burn you deep down the field all that often. Now, he does have pretty good speed, but he relies on his footwork, his route running ability. He runs some epic, you know, stick routes, some comeback routes where he's just leaving cornerbacks in the dust and safety to try to guard him. You almost feel sorry for him sometimes because Brandon Ayuk is so electric with his feet and his ability to change directions quickly and to fake a little bit of body language, a shoulder turn one way and cut back the other way and get open. He is becoming phenomenal at that, and he's always had that. But where I've seen the most improvement from Brandon Ayuk, and I think that play where Brock Purdy almost took a sack late in the fourth quarter, then almost threw an interception and ended up being a jump ball to Brandon Ayuk, it's also him being fearless and going up for a play like that where he knows there's a defender doing the same thing, going up for that ball, trying to lay him out, knock it away, knock it incomplete. He's fearless going up for that ball. And you can finally sense, it's been this way for a lot of the season, but you think back to last year when he was quote-unquote in the doghouse for Kyle Shanahan for a lot of that year. You can really sense, one, how much he cares and wants to go out and help his teammates. Not saying he didn't want that last year at all, but you can really feel it. And on the flip side, how much his team is relying on him and how much they need him to go out and do that. And they desperately needed it in this game. Unfortunately, all those catches on that final drive of regulation didn't result in the game-winning field goal because Robbie Gould missed it. But don't let that miss forget about the fact that Brandon Ayuk was unstoppable on that drive. I mean, everything thrown at him, aside from that first play of that drive, which went incomplete over the middle of the field, everything else he caught. He was phenomenal in this game, specifically in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, no doubt. And all of that combined sets up a 37-34 overtime win for the 49ers. They make the plays on offense when they need to. They make the plays on defense when they have to, and they put themselves now in the number two chair in the NFC. Still a number one seed within reach. And this is where I want to finish the episode, Mark. We're going to go a little bit over time here. It's a victory episode of the 415ers. So we're going to give the people what they want, a little bit of extra content and talking about the playoff scenario that is set up for week 18. San Francisco wins. Philadelphia loses. The Niners get the one seed. They would not only get home field advantage, but they would get a bye. And it feels almost ridiculous that we're talking about this scenario considering the 3-4 start to this season, but they have a potential to not only win 10 straight going into the playoffs, but also fixate themselves on the one seed and win it, regardless of whatever else happens. Of course, assuming that Philly loses next week to the Giants. Now there's a lot of, you know, context there. The Giants are locked into their spot in the postseason. They can't really advance their standing. So who's to say they'll even play Daniel Jones or Saquon Barkley? But then Philadelphia also, of course, needs the win because not only could they lose the one seed, yep, but if they lose and the Cowboys win next week, well, then Philly could fall all the way down to the five. So you'd assume that Jalen Hurts is going to play, but how healthy is going to be? He hasn't played football in 3 weeks. There's a lot going on here, Mark, but I mean, it's a big deal that the Niners could be somehow, some way, even better than your prediction about them being a two seed at the end of the year.
Yeah, let's say they're the one. Do I still get to victory lap that next week? I don't know.
I feel like you should take a bigger victory lap because you've been, I mean, you've been more optimistic about their playoff positioning than I have, for sure, over the course of this year.
Fair enough. I will say kind of what you're laying out, Niner fans, I wouldn't get too attached to the hope of being the one seed. It would be incredible. Don't get me wrong. A bye, it's a guaranteed, you essentially already win a playoff game if you get the one seed. You're already in to the divisional round, and you're guaranteed home games through the Super Bowl if you keep winning. It's huge. It is a gigantic advantage. However, what you said is correct. The Giants, who are the Eagles' opponent in Week 18, it's in Philadelphia, by the way, are already locked into the sixth seed. They have absolutely nothing to gain by winning. Doesn't mean they won't go out there and try to win. We don't really know what Brian Daboll and his squad think is best. There's a lot of people who think you take time off like that and you might cost yourself next week. You might lose some of that edge that you've had throughout the season. Certainly possible. But all I'm saying is it's relatively unlikely. You get it. Take a quick look at what Vegas thinks of this game. Niners and Eagles, both two touchdown favorites. Niners over the Cardinals, Eagles over the Giants. So you're going to need a relatively sizable upset, and then the Niners to avoid a sizable upset in order to win the one seed. However, Evans, what we've been talking about a lot, because we thought the one seed was relatively out of reach, now you feel incredibly disappointed if you're not the two seed. The only way you're not the two seed is if the Vikings win and you lose. That should not happen if you're the 49ers. And what does that mean? You guarantee yourselves two home games in the playoffs if you win the first one. And who knows? Maybe someone pulls an upset of the Eagles and you get to host the NFC Championship game anyway if you get that far. But what makes it even more interesting is now the Packers are probably the favorite to be the seven seed. And whoever is the two would get the Packers in the first round of the postseason. And I don't know how you feel about playing one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, Aaron Rodgers. I know that team has looked pitiful at times this year, but I probably would want to avoid playing a great quarterback like Aaron Rodgers in the postseason on a year in which he feels like he's playing on house money. That might just be me. I don't know. But that 2-7 matchup could get really interesting if it is Niners-Packers.
Yeah, I think so too. And look, right now that's the last spot up for grabs. I mean, we're looking at Seattle right now, that's currently got it, but like you mentioned, Green Bay, Detroit, of course Green Bay is going to play Detroit, so one of those two teams will have a seat at the table. And Seattle, I believe, is hosting Los Angeles at the Rams next week, so you would assume that they'd be able to take care of business against Baker Mayfield, but he's basically boom or bust Baker at this point. I don't know which Baker's going to show up. So they could lose that game. Who knows? But it's all in front of them. The seventh seed's up for grabs. That will likely figure out who the Niners are going to play. I do want to save a little bit of that analysis for the next episode, Mark, and tease it a bit on Wednesday. We're going to be talking about which team could pose the biggest threat to the 49ers in the first round of the playoffs, should, of course, they be the two seed. But before we wrap up, Mark, I feel like we kind of gave out some game balls throughout this episode. But if you had to pick one quickly, like who would be your guy?
Christian McCaffrey, no doubt for me. He willed the team to victory. He was their offense in the first half, and the big plays that he had, that screen play, the screen late in the fourth quarter, and the drive the Niners took over with 4 minutes left in a tie game. Ultimately, they go down and score a touchdown. Of course, the Raiders went back and tied it up. Christian McCaffrey was incredible on that drive. Also, quick shout out, Daniel Brunskill. Daniel Brunskill racing out from his left guard spot, by the way, in relief of Aaron Banks, and getting just a little bit of a shoulder push on a would-be tackler to allow Christian McCaffrey to break three for that big gain. Great play, Daniel Brunskill. That play does not happen if he doesn't hustle and make that play. But McCaffrey was the heart of the Niners offense in this game. He gets my game ball.
Gotcha. I kind of laid out my case, but I think it's Brandon Ayuk. I think that offensively, when they had to have it, we're talking about times when you need to, you know, you're in the trenches. You got to have guys you can rely on. I know it feels weird that Brock Purdy isn't a part of this, but it's because of the two guys that we're talking about. Like, those were his two safety valves. And I think when they needed it on that last drive, Brandon Ayuk was that dude. I also want to mention, we didn't get into the injuries much, but the reports are Aaron Banks from Kyle Shanahan that it is a feared sprain MCL. They, of course, have experienced that earlier this year with Elijah Mitchell. That was a 6 to 8 week injury, which would unfortunately probably put Banks out for the remainder of whatever the postseason run becomes. And then Drake Greenlaw is going to be tested on tomorrow for his back. Hopefully, fingers crossed, it is not too serious, because we're both under the assumption that, you know, he'll be back and he's a big part of this defense. They really do need him.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I agree with you about Dre Greenlaw. I mean, the defense wasn't good in the first half when he was out there as well, but I did think you saw a pretty significant drop off from him to Aziz Alshire. Now, you're Alshire, you're not playing a ton of snaps lately. You got to come in kind of cold. I'm sure he would be better if he has a full week of preparation knowing that he's playing, but there was a pretty big drop off there, Evan. So the Dre Greenlaw injury is potentially a big one. You got to hope, if you're a Niner fan, that he is okay. Maybe he misses week 18. No big deal there. Be ready for the playoffs, Dre, because you're going to be needed then. But if it's anything that keeps him out for multiple weeks, this could be a defense that looks a little different come the postseason. That's how important Dre Greenlaw is.
Yeah, look, he's been the second best player on the field at times this year behind Nick Bosa. I mean, that's how good he's been. So, yeah, speed of recovery, hopefully, to Dre Greenlaw. A couple of stats that caught my eye just to give people something on the way out. Mentioned the five straight games with two or more touchdowns by Brock Purdy, second to Justin Herbert when it comes to rookie quarterbacks. He has won his first four starts, technically, although you can count the five. That would be the longest streak to start a career since Ben Roethlisberger did it 13 straight times.
Wild.
In the 2004 season. Jordan Mason gets his first career touchdown. Applause to him. I know he fell a yard short up in Seattle, so it feels like poetic justice that he gets a very important touchdown, by the way, to put them up with about 2 minutes left in that game. Christian McCaffrey, fifth straight game with a touchdown for him. They are still undefeated when he is the starting running back for the 49ers. And I think that is all I got, Mark.
I have one stat for you. I kind of mentioned it earlier, but I did track it down exactly. Niners have improved to 2-33 under Kyle Shanahan when trailing by double digits in the second half. The only other time besides week 17 in Vegas this year, week 18 last year in Los Angeles when they needed to win to get into the postseason. So 2-33 under Kyle Shanahan when down by 10 in the second half.
But they do it late in the year, so they peak at the right time.
Yes, sir.
Also, teams week directly after playing the 49ers.
True.
Improve or fall to, I should say. 0-14 with the Washington Commanders getting absolutely hosed by the Cleveland Browns. So that's your stat wrap up. This has been an elongated episode of the 415ers podcast. But Mark, I appreciate you hanging on for an extra 10 minutes or so.
Yes, sir. Of course. Looking forward to Wednesday's episode already.
Yeah, we got some good stuff to get into. Playoff picture has come full circle heading into the last week of the NFL season. We got some juicy matchups to discuss. And, of course, we'll have a bigger AFC picture after the Monday night game between Buffalo and Cincinnati. We'll be sure
That's
to watch that.
Game.
Should be a fun game between two of the hottest teams in football. But the hottest team in football, your San Francisco 49ers, have won now 9 in a row. They beat the Las Vegas Raiders 37-34 in overtime. They are the 2 seed in the NFC with an outside shot at the 1 seed heading into the postseason. Who knows what's going to happen? But we'll keep you locked in here on the 415ers. Next episode coming Wednesday. We appreciate you tuning in. Download, rate, subscribe. It's all brought to you by the Odyssey Sports Podcast Network. Emmy Giddings, Mark Grandy. We'll talk to you next time.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had, and the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day, and everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.